Hello, everyone. So today I will talk about real-time network policy checking using header space analysis. This is a joint work with Michael, James, Professor George Vargas, my advisor Nick, and my mentor at Google, Scott White. So we all know that network debugging and verification is a hard problem. It's hard because the forwarding state of network is hard to analyze. So the forwarding state of network is a set of forwarding rules installed in forwarding tables of switches, routers, and other networking boxes that overall decide how an incoming packet is processed by the box and sent to an output port. And these forwarding rules are distributed across multiple tables on multiple boxes that overall determine the end-to-end behavior of networks. The forwarding state is hard to analyze because, first of all, is distributed across multiple tables and boxes, and as a result, it's harder to understand the overall system behavior. Second, it's written to network by multiple independent writers, such as different instances of different protocols, or even manually by network administrators. And these independently written state may interact in complex way that leads to unforeseen results. Also, the forwarding state is presented in different formats by different vendors, which make it harder to understand by human beings. And finally, the forwarding state is not directly controllable or observable by network admins. And as you can see, this forwarding state is not constructed in a way that lends itself well to checking and verification, and that's why network debugging is hard. Last year, I talked about a tool, a snapshot-based tool called Hassel, that uses header space analysis as its foundation. So it uses header space analysis to create a model of the network and then use that to check network properties. So the tool basically gets a complete snapshot of all the forwarding states in the network, convert that into a format that represents each box using a transfer function, and then uses that model to check properties, such as can host A talk to B in the network, or is there any loop in the network. However, we know that network state changes all the time. So rules may get added to the network or get deleted from the network, or even a batch of rules may get added and deleted at the same time, and as a result, network state may change from one state to the other, and these changes always has the potential of breaking things and making policy violations. Today, I want to talk about a new approach to network verification that tries to verify a stream of network update as it happens in the network in real time and make sure that it's not violating any of the network policy or invariants. More specifically, I want to design a new model of the network to which we apply these stream of network updates along with a set of policy and invariants that we want to check on the network. And then the system constantly give us a yes-no answer to each of those policies as they are getting violated. And if we do that, then we can prevent errors before they happen, or we can raise an alarm as soon as something goes wrong in the network. So the outline of my talk is as follows. I will introduce our real-time network policy checking tool called NetPlumber. I will specifically talk about how it works, how we can check policy using NetPlumber, and how we can parallelize it. And then I will talk about evaluation of NetPlumber on Google WAN network, and then I conclude my talk. So the system that we built for real-time policy checking called NetPlumber, it runs in a single or cluster of machines in the network and try to verify the state changes against the policy in real time. It's best suited for software-defined networks because in SDN, the interface between the controller and switches is a logically centralized location to see all the state changes that happen in the network. So NetPlumber can tap into this communication and get a stream of state changes, such as installation of new rules or removal of rules or link up, link down events in the network and verify them in real time. It can potentially be used in conventional network by somehow getting that stream of state changes. One way to implement that would be through a SNMP trap or even by frequently polling the state from the network, but as you can guess, it's not the most efficient implementation of this. So internally, NetPlumber creates a dependency graph of all forwarding rules in the network, and try to verify policy using that dependency graph. So in this graph, nodes are forwarding rules in the network, and directed edges in the graph represent the next hop dependency of these rules. So what do I mean by that? I mean, rule R1 in switch 1 has a next hop dependency to rule R2 in switch 2 if, first of all, switch 1 and switch 2 are connected by a physical link, and second, the output headers of rule R1 has an intersection with the input headers of rule R2. This means that there exists at least one packet that can be processed by rule R1, sent to the next hop, and processed by rule R2. So if we look at these directed edges across the graph in the entire dependency graph, it shows all the possible paths of flow in the network. So to understand how NetPlumber works, let's run through a simple example here consisting of four boxes. So NetPlumber look at the forwarding state of all these boxes, and for each rule, it creates a node in the dependency graph. Each of these squares represent node in the graph. So I'm completely showing a visual representation of these rules here. First of all, each rule is, each header is limited to only four bits, and the way that I encode this is that for each bit we have two squares. The upper square represent the possibility of taking value 0 and the lower for value 1. So for example, a structure like this will show a 0, 1, XX header. So as you can see, this top rule here is matching on 1001 header and forward that to the green box. The second rule match on 01XX and rewrite it to 001X and forward it to the green rule and so on. So this is just the notation that we use here. So NetPlumber looks at all these forwarding states across the network, and for all of them, it creates a node in the graph. And then it connects these nodes using these directed edges. So for example, we have this directed edge from the top blue to the top green node, because the output headers of the blue rule has some intersection with the input header of the green node. And so by looking at the other directed edges, we can create this dependency graph. Also, each rule keeps a pointer to the higher priority rule within the same table that has some intersection on the match side, meaning that there are some packets that would match on that higher priority rule that would otherwise match on the lower priority rule. So we keep track of these, and we'll see how this is useful in the later slides. So once we have this structure, we can use that to check policies in the network. The simplest one, finding reachability between two nodes. Imagine you want to find reachability from A to B. All we need to do is to connect a source node in the location of source and the probe node in the location of destination. And then the source node pushes an all wildcard flow through this dependency graph. I should emphasize that NetPlumber is a tool that's running on the side of the network and try to analyze the network as it changes. It's not actually sending any packet in the network. It's just kind of a simulation of network is running on the side. So it pushes this all wildcard flow through the rules, and the flow gets processed by those rules. And the reason that it sends the all wildcard flow is that Those all wildcard flows represent the entire set of packet headers that A can possibly generate. So by doing that, we are examining all the possibilities here. So after we do that, we get the packets at the output of those rules, and we just keep pushing these flows through the dependency graph and process them at each node. Note that the flows are propagating along the directed edges in this graph. And once the flow reaches to the final destination, we have find reachability from A to B. These two headers at the bottom shows those flows. Now imagine that we change this network and add a rule to the green box at the top. That's where this dependency graph actually helps to update the result in real time. So to do that change, first of all, we need to create these these directed edges in the network and connect these newly added rule to the rest of the dependency graph. And these highlighted edges represent those dependencies. Now we can get the flow from the previous hop node, process it by the new rule, and then just keep propagating it throughout the dependency graph all the way to the destination. However, we need to take care of another thing here. And that's the intra-table dependency of these two green rules. The idea here is that the top green rule now has priority of processing some of the packets that were previously matching on this second green rule. So we need to subtract the effect from the flow that's going through this bottom path. And once we do subtract that, we see that actually all that flow is now going through the top path and not through the second path. And at this point, we have actually found the updated reachability results. So the probe node that I talked about up until now is in perfect position to check policies in the network. Imagine we have a policy that says packet with a header 0010 should go through the red box before reaching to the destination. Probe node can easily check that policy because, first of all, it's receiving all the possible flows from the source to the destination. And second, it has the complete flow history of each of those flows because it knows what the flow looks like at each hop. So it can just look at that flow history that's highlighted here and verify that it's actually going through the red box, and it can assert that the policy has been checked. Now imagine that we decide to remove that bottom blue rule here. Again, NetPlumber can easily update the result by removing the flow that's going through this rule and eliminating it from the dependency graph and then removing this rule. But at this point, we have violated the policy and the probe node raised an alarm for us and calls a callback function so we can react to this violation. So now let's look at a few examples of how we can actually implement more complicated policies using NetPlumber. Imagine we have a network like this whose dependency graph looks like this. Obviously, the dependency graphs is more complicated than the network graph itself because each rule represents a node in this dependency graph. And imagine the policy that we want to check is that every guest can cannot access server S. To check for that, all we need to do is to connect two source nodes in the location of guests in the dependency graph and the probe node in the location of server in the dependency graph, and then program the probe node to raise an alarm whenever it sees any flows coming from those source nodes. And the way that we can program this probe node to check for this policy is via a language we described in the paper called FlowExp. Effectively, it provides a regular expression-like language on the header and the path of flow, so we can program it to check all the flows and check that the path of all those flows are not starting from G1 and G2, which are the two ports on which we have guests. Another example, if you want to check in this network that the client to server communication doesn't go through more than four hops in the network, all we need to do is to connect a source node generating the desired traffic and the probe node at the location of the server, and then ask the probe to check for this policy that all the HTTP header are going through 1, 2, 3, or 4 hops. And finally, a last policy that we want to check is that traffic from client C to server S don't go through more than should go through the middle box M. To check for that, we again connect a source node in the location of client, a probe node in the location of server, and ask the probe to check that the path of all the flows that start from C is actually going through M. So now let's review why the dependency graph helps with the real-time policy checking. It helps because of the incremental updating, because whenever something changes, we only have to trace through the dependency subgraph that's affected by an update, and we don't need to recompute everything from scratch. It helped with the flexible policy expression because the probe and source node are flexible to place and configure, and we can implement a lot of policy by that. It also helps with the parallelization because now we can partition the dependency graph into clusters that has minimum interaction with each other and then run them in parallel. I'm not going to explain how we can do the parallelization, but intuitively, if we have this dependency graph, we find out the rules that has dependency to each other, and then separate them out into two disjoint clusters and run them in two different instances of NetPlumber. Of course, there are rules that are violating this clustering constraint. Those rules should be replicated across both of these clusters to fully represent the network. So I will briefly talk about the evaluation of NetPlumber on Google WAN. Google WAN is the inter-data center network for Google, connecting Google data centers worldwide. It's the largest deployed SDN that's running OpenFlow, and it has about 143K OpenFlow rules, and you see the topology of network there. So the policy that we checked on this network is that all 52 edge switches can talk to each other, which translates to more than 2,500 pairwise reachability check. To check for that, we connect the source and the probe node to each of those edge switches, the source node injecting or pushing on all wildcard flow, and the probe node checking that it's receiving those flows from every other switches. And then we use two snapshots that are taken 6 weeks apart, use the first one to load the NetPlumber and the diffs as the incremental update, and verify that during that time the reachability has been maintained. I should emphasize that Google WAN is more interesting from a scale point of view. There's not that much interesting policy going on here. So we are mostly focusing on how NetPlumber scales here. So this graph shows the runtime of NetPlumber on Google WAN. The x-axis is the runtime in milliseconds, and that's the log axis, and the y-axis is the CDF of runtime per rule update. As you can see, about 60% of rule changes could be verified in less than 1 millisecond, and about 95% of them can be verified in less than 10 milliseconds. There's this tail that take longer to verify, and those are the default or aggregate rules that adding or removing them requires a lot of changes in the dependency graph. And just as a point of reference, if we wanted to do the same thing using the offline checking tool, it would be hundreds of seconds, a point way over there. Also, another observation is that by increasing the number of instances of NetPlumber, the runtime kind of start getting better and better beyond some point. After about 5 instances for this Google WAN, we are not getting much benefit from parallelization. And the reason for that is that the dependency graph for Google has about 5 natural clusters. And if we try to go beyond that, we end up just replicating rules across these clusters, and we are not getting much benefit from the parallelization. As another example, we did a benchmarking test for a single pairwise reachability check across 3 networks, Google, Stanford, and Internet 2. As you can see, the rule update time is well beyond 1 millisecond in all these networks. However, link update times take a longer time, it's about a few seconds. And the reason for that is that adding or removing links change a lot of things in the dependency graph, so it takes longer to verify. And that should be okay because link changes are not that frequent in the network, so we could still use NetPlumber in most of the networks. However, if the network is kind of like energy efficient network that you know turn on and off the links, then NetPlumber may not be a good tool there. So to conclude my talk, I talked about the design and implementation of a protocol independent system for real time network policy checking. The key component of the system was a dependency graph of all forwarding rules that shows all the paths in the network. It helped with the incremental update because we had to only trace through the dependency subgraph affected by a change. It helped with the policy, with flexible policy expression, and it helped with parallelizing NetPlumber by creating independent clusters. With that, I want to finish my talk and open to questions.
Hi, I like this emphasis on verification that we have here at NSDI this year. I wonder if you wanted to compare and contrast your work with the earlier paper on Veriflow and try and give us a sense of how they're...
So I think performance-wise, they're kind of equivalent in terms of runtime. One thing about the NetPlumber is that it can handle any sort of rules. So I think with Veriflow, we could only have rules that are just forwarding packets. Here, we can have any action. And this is, I think, the major difference. I believe the other main difference is that this is kind of independent of where the wildcard is and everything. So you can have completely protocol agnostic verification tool. But I believe for the try-based approach, you should have wildcard at the right side of the fields, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Another related question then, if I may, is can you give some examples of properties that you cannot verify using your technique?
So with this technique, we can, for example, verify performance properties about the network. It's mostly properties on the path and the header of the flow in the network. So the examples I gave are kind of representative of the type of thing we can check. We can check loops, we can check black holes, but for example, we can't check that this rate guarantee is actually maintained in the network. Those require more information that's not available here.
Thanks.
I had one more question. You hinted at the beginning about the possibility of maybe being able to use it in non-SDN networks and mentioned one of the difficulties in that was collecting the updates. I was wondering what happens in terms of the sort of cascading effects that you might see in non-SDN networks and transient loops, delayed convergence, things like that. How does that end up playing out?
If I understand your question correctly, your question is about how we can detect these in the non-SDN network when it's a transient property. So, for example, if the way that we are checking these properties is by getting snapshots, we totally miss a loop that is happening just between the snapshots that we are taking. If we have a SNMP trap kind of approach, again, if the loop is less than the verification time of NetPlumber, then we miss it, but otherwise we can capture it. Without that typical update time, then well, we miss it.
It's Junda from Google. Can kind of support the policy, like say, I want enough resilience between two nodes that it can tolerate any single link failure.
Mm-hmm.
So how can the HSA be adapted to that?
So for example, in that case, we may want to verify that there exists at least two paths between any two nodes. Maybe we can translate that policy into this equivalent path constraint, and depending on how complicated that policy is.
Yeah, it's more like the dependency graph may get complicated, right?
Yeah.
Okay.